born on the Nativity of Our Blessed Mother and celebrating 10 years on the air, The Winds of Change.
Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. A little belated, I guess, right?
You know, so guess you could say that.
We had a little bit of a COVID scare this week, and so weren't able to be on the radio, but everything is A-OK. Thanks, Nick. Good.
Thumbs A-OK. Up.
All right. A-OK. How are you, Antonio? How was your Thanksgiving?
Lonely.
Lonely? What happened?
Well, we stayed home.
Oh, you followed really... the...
That's part of my dilemma today. So you will get your first complaint about this show.
Okay.
I'm going to be more down than I normally am.
Okay.
So I'm trying to stay up. I just, you know, and it worked. So
yeah,
I figured I'm working from home.
Because I saw Angelica was at Mass last night.
Yeah, and at the last minute, I wanted to go, but the way I timed.
Yeah.
See, because I work in the evening.
Sure.
And I really shouldn't be saying this over the air, but... Yeah, the time was not right. I started a little early thinking I would, you know.
Yeah.
But then I really wanted to and I didn't.
So you had to work on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I mean, it's because I'm at home anyway and we get paid regardless. And as I was looking there, I was like one of two. This lady that I work with at night was the only one that actually, you know, stayed. And I was thinking to myself, are you an idiot or what's your deal? And then I thought to myself, well, when I was single... Going back to my single years, I worked all the holidays. I mean, it's just the way I've always done. It's not that I'm money hungry, but, you know, in certain jobs that I've had, I know people that had kids or they, you know, wanted to be home with their family.
Sure.
I was the one that always, you know,
sure.
bit the bullet and stayed because I really had nothing, but, you know, I was single, so I really didn't, you know. And the holidays to me for the longest time, the bane of my life.
The what?
The bane of my life. I don't feel good around the holidays.
We've
talked about this so many times. And dare I say, I mean, the only place I really do feel
the church.
Is here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for Christmas. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that happened after years. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you know what? After all is said and done, this is really where it's at. Isn't it really?
Yeah. And it's like, it took me so long. I wish people knew this from the get, you know, as children.
Yeah.
You know, if I would have learned that, you know, Christmas isn't about running out and doing this and doing that. And now I think part of my problem today is just, I get scared about what's going on. I mean,
in the world.
Oh yeah, with this virus, and then and then you don't know who to listen to.
Right, right.
And I gotta admit, I'm very, you know, I hate what this has become. It has become, well, if you don't think this is real, then you're evil. Something's wrong with you, or you know, if you're not one to just lock everything, I don't think locking down everything is the solution.
Yeah,
you know, but then you hear all these stories about, and you know, I have friends too that, you know, went through it. My buddy's whole family went through it, and he has after effects of, you know, this COVID. Yeah. So I don't know, and worry that maybe this is the thing that kills everybody. So I don't know.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Father.
No, that's okay.
Haven't talked in a while.
We have not. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And but you're absolutely right. I think this is why there's a lot of there's just a lot of anxiety out there, a lot of stress, because you don't know what to believe, who to believe, where to go, where not to go, what to do, what not to do. And it's not, you know, I guess we're beating a dead horse here, but the virus is real. There's no doubt about it. And but it's how it's being how it's been so politicized. And
that's the thing. And again, and I sit here and I don't consider myself the smartest person in the world, but I have what I think is common sense. And you start, it's almost that feeling, you know how somebody's lying to you? They tell you,
sure,
Tony, you must do this, but I do something totally opposite. Right. So it's like when you pay attention to all of these things and you try to use your own logic, you think about, okay, a virus, there's no way you can stop a virus from spreading. I'm sorry. You can put the masks on. You can social distance. A virus is going to do what a virus does, and that is spread to hosts all over.
Yeah, you know, I was exchanging email with a number of priests. Some of them I don't know, but Father Coyce was on the email, because we just got, and we're going to be jumping all around here. We got to pray too, but they just released this morning the Vatican's avant-garde nativity scene, and it is so shockingly horrendous. It is so disgusting.
Yeah.
It seems like a mockery. It's like a child's toys. You know, I can't even explain it. But I was so livid when I saw it, and I was included on a what do they call those mass emails or whatever, where they and I saw that Father Coyce was and I made response, and he did too, you know, because I was just so frustrated, so disgusting. But I say, God forgive me, but there's a point where it's everything, you know. You talk about the, you know, what's going on in the nation, what's going on in the church. It's so hard to wrap your head around this, but I think I responded and I said, you know, what is the church trying to prove, and to whom? You know, this is so, in my opinion, and in the opinion of many others, so disgusting. I can't even describe it. It's just this is the church, the custodian of beautiful sacred art. But along with that, and a lot of these other things that you kind of keep swallowing, and you say, okay, I'm not going to say anything. But you know, I was reading this past week that because what's happening in China is so disgusting as well, whereby the church has seemingly. I say seemingly because maybe there's stuff that I just don't know, but I do keep attuned to what's going on, and I try to read from many, many different perspectives, even with regards to the election and all that kind of stuff. But that's in the secular national sphere, but in the church. So this Cardinal Zen, who's been in the underground church and has been trying to get his voice out there in defense of Catholics who are being persecuted in China, and the Vatican has seemingly negotiated with the government of China, the communist government, whereby they're able to select the bishops. And the Vatican approves, and there's just a lot of crazy stuff going on. But the Cardinal Zen, this is a church that has been persecuted, and they feel like they've been thrown under the bus. And so he made a trip to the Vatican to try to see the Pope. Couldn't get an audience with the Pope.
Of course not.
Had to leave a letter. Now, At the same time, the Vatican has suspended the public worship of Christmas at St. Peter's at the Vatican and allowed an audience with the NBA players where the Pope congratulated them for their social justice efforts. And in the photos, they're not wearing masks. there's nobody wearing masks.
Exactly.
So the point is that there's so much contradiction here. And then when I saw this this nativity scene that is going to be, it just brought all this other stuff, because you keep swallowing this. You keep saying, okay, you know, this is going to go away. I said, dear Jesus, please help us.
No, I don't know if this is the intention. We just keep feeding this garbage and waiting for people to get up and just revolt. You know, I am not that person. I don't want to think this way, but I think deep down inside, that's what it is.
See, if you try to hold to what is truth and to safeguard and protect the values and the principles and the faith of the church and this, the faith of, okay, say Judeo-Christianity, that the nation was built on Judeo-Christian values and principles, where God, in fact, I didn't bring it with me, but I have a number of quotes. Do you remember, and I couldn't believe this was, I think, going back to 2011, but I had, it was on the show, I actually took it from the one of our shows, and where the Russian newspaper Pravda.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was in 2011. No, it couldn't have been. It was years ago.
Yeah.
But it was years ago. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And so I'm going to include this. I'll bring it up next week because I don't have it with me. But they're asking themselves in the newspaper, and you know, of course, maybe I was going to say some kind of propaganda, or because you know what. But the fact is that Orthodox Christianity, Orthodox, when I say Orthodox, I mean the Eastern Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, which had been suppressed, has been on the boom. You know, the people have been allowed to return to the faith, and there's been this revival of the practice of religion, re-inculcating, teaching the religion. And so they were, in the article, they were asking, you know, what has happened to America? And they quote our founding fathers. I'll bring that up next Tuesday. So I have a series of quotes, but we talked about this once before on the radio. But the problem in the church, it seems to me, is that we've really, the very thing that the Holy Father has, initially when he was raised to the chair of Peter, and I read some of his homilies from Argentina, and I thought, well, this is going to be good, because he speaks about the church isn't an NGO and all that, non-government organization and all that,
NGO.
But it just seems like, you know, you talk out of two sides of your mouth. It seems like there's so much, your own churchmen, your cardinals who want clarification seem not, if they don't tote the party line, the present party line, which seems so radically secularized, like a secular humanist organization rather than the church of the mystical body of Christ, imbued with the very spirit of our Lord. And I know I'm saying this, and it people are going to react, because I try to be very prudent when I speak.
Yeah.
But it's just that it's not just me, but it's, and even as I heard from, well, Father Coyce had responded, because as I said, I was on this email drop, and it's like, the very thing you said, where do you, you know, we've got to come together and defend against the elites in the church, in the government, in the media, in Hollywood, the and I say it, this liberal leftist agenda that seems so hostile to the conservative. And when I say conservative, I define it this way: to conserve. Conservative is, from my perspective, is to conserve what has been handed down to us, which is what God has ordained and handed on to us to safeguard and protect the proper ordering of society unto our salvation.
I think at salvation. This point, honestly, I think that the names don't matter anymore. It's you pick a side, pick one side or the other. It's a simple thing. There's just two sides. And it used to be, the beauty about America was there was many. You have, you know, you make your decisions by basing it on different things. But now you're either one side or the other. And if you say one thing or the other, you're immediately branded that
branded
side
completely.
Or the other.
Yeah,
so it's nothing you can say. You can't even defend yourself in a sense of, you know, explaining. I love when somebody, anybody, can sit down and have a conversation. I'm not here to make you see my way. I'm not really here to change your opinion or anything, but I'm here, I should be able to speak.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, they say now, speak your truth, but there's so many different truths now that, again, there's if you look at it, there's good and... Yeah.
Or you. It's an interesting dynamic today. So I was speaking to a teacher, and
that's what you hear. That's the thing. Maybe we're really opinionated and stuff because we're around people. We talk to people.
Right. But see that. But what's interesting is if you don't know that person.
Yeah.
There's an interesting dance that happens where you dance around the topic. Because you don't know where that person stands, and you don't know if you want to reveal where you stand because of the kind of hostility and the hypersensitivity to, and again, in our case, you know, adhering to Judeo-Christian and most specifically a Catholic dogma, doctrine, as it's come down to us. You know, there's certain things that are non-negotiable. You don't change certain things. And so I was having this discussion with a teacher, and it was just very interesting how we were dancing until we finally... There was
common
this,
ground.
Yeah, finally, all of a sudden, there was this door that opened that said, okay, it's okay to speak because we're on the same... page, but even if you're not on the same page as you said, even if you disagree with me, we should be able to have a civil discussion, and we should be interested in each other's point of view or each other's reading of history, but how we perceive what is moral, what is immoral, what is. You can't do that today.
Yeah.
You can't do that today.
It's becoming, you know, a great teacher of mine. I can't remember his name at this moment, but he told me, know your history because it repeats itself.
Repeats itself.
And now if you look at it, you know, today I think they've tried to rework what is real history and retell what is real history. But if you really start looking and knowing your history, you see how we see the same things years down the line.
Sure.
And I hate to say it, there's some bad things happening this time.
Very much.
That is pretty much something that we've gone through.
Very much. In fact, if you not going to go too much into the election, but at all, because I don't want to. Again, we have our listeners, but see, that's my hope is that those who tune in, that you know we're having a this is a discussion. I approach the radio, you know, in this regard that I do. I tend to be very scripture oriented. I Christ centered. But we have a discussion, you know, we're living in the world, in this real world. And so it's kind of like we're doing right now. We're bouncing, we're all over the place maybe, but not really all over the place because we're pretty consistent about what we're trying to say. But even, could I be more direct? I could be more direct.
Yeah.
I could be, but it would be offensive, to people. And I don't want to offend. Sometimes we have to be offended. But the but with regards to the election, I'm trying to read it from so many different perspectives. Now, yesterday, something was sent to me. So Thanksgiving Day for me is a very quiet day. I really enjoy it. I got the Christmas letter done. I was happy about that. And then I tried to do some. I've just got lots of stuff. I was a little bit lazy, and but
as
I
you should be. As it should you be. Work yeah, all yeah. The time.
Just I have this guilt when I feel lazy.
I know,
you know. So.
I know.
But we. But I have to say, we had because Angelica was at the Mass. Did mm-hmm. she tell you we had so many people?
That was good.
It was the
That's
7 o'clock
thing mission, I asked
it was
too.
Unbelievable. So I even. I was thinking, well, should I go to confession or not? Because we didn't have that. It's a holiday, you know.
Right.
But I thought, you know, I'll just go, even if I'm sitting there for 45 minutes or an hour, I'll just be there just in case somebody comes thinking, you know, maybe, you know, you think you don't expect that there's going to be a lot of people. I was in a confessional, got there right before 6 o'clock.
Before you finish the story, I can even finish it for you. There was more people there.
You better believe it. And yes. I started the Mass late because I was in the confessional so long. And the church, there were so many people. Mm-hmm. And many people, many faces I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do the chaplet after the Mass. Yeah. And it was amazing that just about, it seemed to me, everybody stayed for the chaplet afterwards.
It's interesting. It's interesting, Father. I go to different churches. And the one thing that that bothers me is that confession isn't available more often. And I can understand if you're in a church and maybe some people don't come at that time. But I mean, for masses, and I know we're one person, one priest here. But I mean, my gosh, if it's available, people will take it, and sure. It's so important to have. So you know,
that's why I truly believe that as you said, you make it available, people will come. Yeah. It's like the who was it? Kevin Costner, the movie Build and They Will Come, whatever. Build, what was the name of the movie?
Build it and they will come, or something.
Play the ball part. He built the
Field
of Dreams.
Field
yeah,
of Dreams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Open the doors and people will come.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we take a break here, and then we'll come back and we'll pray the Angelus. We're still in the 12 o'clock hour, or so, but it was we haven't seen each other for some time. Yeah. I saw you on Sunday, but
right.
To go and bring it back to your initial the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that what it's becoming? I think is that you know, thank God, you know, because. The holidays, the sacred season, we're beginning to enter into the season of Advent, and then, of course, that'll give way to the season of Christmas, and then that'll give way to the new year, and Thanksgiving Day. But when there isn't an appreciation for the sacred dimension to all this, and everything becomes secularized, or it becomes, what would you say, kind of utilitarian, or you know that it's all about something that I can get, or whatever. Right. It is depressing. It is depressing, and it you want to avoid the stress of it all, and just but thank God for the church if we don't succumb to that, because we can succumb to that. I think one of the benefits of the COVID pandemic is that it's caused all of us to have to simplify. And when I say that, I mean that there's a kind of, and maybe this is a hidden blessing, but a refocusing to what, even in the worship of God and the sacred liturgy, is so that we don't have a lot of we've always tried to keep things so that the Mass doesn't morph into some kind of the kumbaya, mm-hmm. you know, the you got everybody, got to get everybody involved, and it's Christ becomes almost secondary, or even we bring the veil down to the sacred drama that's unfolding in the celebration of the sacred mysteries, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and why we're there, but in gratitude and to offer our lives to renew our covenant with the Lord and to be fed with His body, His blood, His soul, and divinity in order to get into the work of life and to survive, not collapse. But in a sense, Although I have to say quite honestly, and I just am still learning this, there's a lot of churches that haven't fully opened, and they still don't have weekday masses, or they may have weekday mass once a week. I can't understand this, but in any case, the fact is that we do find refuge in the sacred. I mean, that's what keeps us sane. That's what keeps us strong. That's what keeps us safe, in a sense, so that we're not swallowed up by all this other stuff that really does a great damage to the soul, to the soul. And when you feel that your soul, your very soul, has been violated as individuals, or let's say the soul of the nation, the soul of our nation has been violated, deeply violated, is being dangerously, deeply, sinfully violated. And we're to keep quiet, you know. You know, again, it goes back to this, the idea that we've been pushed to the fringes, because you got to think about everything that's going on in the nation, in the sense that the disrupting of conserve what has been handed down to us, what makes us a civil people, what helps to order life, the protection of marriage and the protection of the family, knowing that people have been wounded and people are divided, but you know, we have to work against that, those powers and principalities that really it's the satanic, the diabolical, that seek to create disorientation in order to divide and ultimately to destroy. So this hostility against the life of the unborn, this growing hostility against the necessity of the nuclear family, the need for a father and a mother, the complete distortion and perversion of the proper ordering of sexuality, it's all anti-Judeo-Christian, you know. And you know what's interesting? I'm sorry, I can keep going on. We're almost midway into the show, but I was thinking about this morning, and I thought I heard this maybe yesterday or maybe today, that it's interesting. The anarchists, the Antifa, the BLM. All these activists, if you want to call them activists, they will attack Judeo-Christianity. They will, and this is happening all over the world, the desecration of churches, especially the Catholic churches. This is going on in Latin America. It's going on in, I mean, look at in France. What happened? And you know, it kind of came into the news and it was gone. In the Notre Dame, it wasn't the Notre Dame that burned, which was really an omen, in my opinion. But another church in Paris, I think it was in Paris, another Notre Dame, a smaller church but very old, the beheading of the woman. Three people were killed. And the one woman, an older woman, they were there praying, and she was beheaded. The woman was beheaded in the church. This was just a few weeks ago, and it came into the news and it was out of the news. I mean, there was even a picture. I saw the picture. It was horrific, horrific. But what? And there's would be no justification for this. But the Antifa anarchists, BLM, will attack the churches, Christian churches, but they won't touch Islam or the mosque, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't.
They shouldn't.
But the point is,
it tells you everything, doesn't it?
But it tells you a lot. And the fact that, you know, is in they've taken it off the website. I haven't looked at it for some time, but I've been told. But initially, when this whole Black Lives movement was well into play, in their own website, it was founded by three lesbian women, who in their document and their dogma and mission statement or whatever you want to call it, is this a very violent attack on the nuclear family and the denigrate manhood, fatherhood. Now, this is Black Lives Matter. And I say that, you know, with the unrest in the streets of our city, and if the election were to turn around, you know, if they really find that there's been this massive fraud, and let's just say President Trump was duly elected, you know, if that should happen, I don't know what's going to happen, but you better believe the cities are going to burn. They're going to burn. In the present situation as it is, have conservatives done violence to anybody?
It's, you know, Father, I never thought about that. It's a very, very good point. I want to see all the windows busted and all the riots and all these people that think they got, you know, there was some kind of a fraud here. Why aren't they in the streets? Why aren't they knocking things down, busting people's property? Why?
Well, you know what the mainstream media did with the when they had the march on Washington, those who believe that this was a stolen election. Right. You know, thousands upon thousands, tens upon thousands. You know,
I must have missed that because I didn't get that report anywhere. I didn't see that in the news.
I think that might have been last Saturday or maybe 2 weeks ago.
A Saturday when most people aren't paying attention.
I think it was on a Saturday, but the point was that it was a peaceful. But what the mainstream media. But then you had the anarchists come out, the Antifa, BLM. Mm. They came out, and they did the violence to the people.
Of course.
And they showed people after the—
Because that's called peaceful protest.
But this was one of the biggest marches. It was people that I listened to some people who had been there, and it was African-American, Asian, Latino, Hispanic, whites. But the media didn't cover it.
Why would they?
But they did cover the violence, but it was— But not violence. It was, how did they say that it was? So you get these little fringe groups here. But so when you think of the hundreds, I don't know if it's hundreds of thousands. It was a million person march.
Right.
But it was massive. It was massive.
I'm curious too. Where are all the? I don't even know what you would call these groups that are on the other side, the conservative or Republican side that are now taking to the streets and causing mischief because—
It's not happening.
But it was predicted that that was going to happen.
No, but the attack on these conservatives or those who were—
In the march.
In the march, you know, they want— In other words, it was the march was that they believe that this was fraud and it was a stolen election and they want justice to be— or at least to be heard, to be heard. But they were harassed. But again, the media didn't cover it. You because of social media, you can you'll get this in a couple of the media networks, but so afterwards, people who were going to, you know, at that point you could eat outside and all that, they were attacked by these anarchists,
of course,
completely attacked. Children, you had parents with their children who were being scolded and chided and beaten and all that, and the kids are terrified. Horrified by what's going on.
Yep.
This is, it's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But this is the reality that we're living in right now. And what really, really, seems a little political. I just can't stand the fact that has this ever happened before where all of a sudden the president-elect is— you know, out there with his—
This has never happened
before.
And you know who I blame more than anybody? The people knew that this was going to happen. I don't know if this is the end, a breakdown of everything. If you have courts that—and again, am I that guy that thinks there's no fraud? There's fraud everywhere. The laws are made that they knew this was going to happen. They knew this was going to happen. Both sides knew this was going to happen. But what do you do?
Yeah, to whom do you have recourse?
Exactly. And that this is one of the frustrations I have right now is like, okay, what do you do? It used to be where I could go to the safety of my faith and know things are all right, but it's happening there too.
Yeah,
it's happening all over.
That's what's so...
So you're lost. What do you do?
The disorientation. It's we call it the diabolical disorientation.
And I just focus on the truth. The
infiltration
truth
into the very life of the church, into the life of the nation. And yes, exactly. To whom do we have recourse but to Christ Jesus? And this is, as you said, history repeats itself.
Yes.
This is, there's nothing new under the sun. Thinking about this yesterday, I had written part of this and deleted it from the letter because I didn't want to, I was going off into another tangent as I can do so well.
I don't know how you keep it together when, because even this show, I mean, again, one thing leads to another. We see, you know, it's like someone sitting here saying, well, what is the problem? What is the problem? The problem it's there. It's so visible.
Sure.
But you have all these little connections that just, this is where it starts. How do you fix this? I don't know.
So you take, because I was reflecting on, again, Christmas and Jesus, that already his birth, I would say the conception of Jesus awakens Satan, and his birth then awakens the powers and the principalities. So Herod will seek out, in order to destroy Christ, the innocents are put to death, right? And they have to flee. The Blessed Virgin, St. Joseph. St. Joseph has the dream, and the angel he's told to take the child and the mother, the Holy Mother, and to flee because Herod, evil was. And again, all this came deceitfully, right? Because Herod deceived the Magi.
Right.
Right. It's all deception. So you had Herod at the beginning, this Christ child. As he becomes a man, he had God, the incarnate God, the incarnate Word, God in the flesh, who comes to save, to redeem us. So it was the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders of the covenant, the church, let's say the church, the leaders of the old covenant, the Jewish equivalent to, let's say, bishops and the Pope and all that, the priests. So the Pharisees and the scribes collaborate with the Roman officials and also one of the apostles. And it's through this collaboration and this deception, the lies and the plotting in order to trap, again, think about that, Pharisees, scribes, the Roman officials, and one of the apostles led to the crucifixion of God in the flesh. And it's in this, of course, the whole Paschal mystery that we are redeemed and saved. But it's nothing new under the sun, you see? So it's the same thing that's ever at play. And so if we're not really living our lives in a Christocentric way, truly centered in God, then we easily succumb to the power plays, but it's all, again, what are the tactics? The enemies of the soul, again, the world, not under the dominion of Christ Jesus, not under the dominion of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's revealed himself in Christ Jesus, fully revealed himself in Jesus. So the world, not under the dominion of God, the flesh, and again, St. Paul says, you give free rein to the flesh. And we've certainly given free rein to the flesh in this nation, in this, in the West, in much of the world now because of media. So everybody's been, there's this this violation of the proper use of one's own sexuality. But it's not just about sex. It's also about, you know, just that we live a life that is disciplined, which is so necessary for our well-being and the well-being of society. But so it's a lot of things. The flesh refers to a lot of things, you know, just our natural inclination to the things of this world. And the devil, who is a deceiver, is a seducer, creates the illusion, and is the accuser. And all this is in play in a big way in our society, and is powerfully infiltrated the very life of the church. And it's always going to be in the church. Jesus said, "You're always going to have scandal, but woe to those who cause the scandal. Better that a millstone be put around their neck than be thrown in the sea and drown." Those who adversely affect or hurt the life of the innocent, those who are innocent, those who are the little ones, those who are keeping faith. So we really are in a very interesting time. And again, people, I remind you, God isn't a magician. He can just wave a wand. He's slow to anger, rich in mercy. He's patient, but there is a point where his justice will be manifested. In fact, that's the whole this whole week. This is the last week of the church year. Mm-hmm. We're reading about God's justice. You know, if He came 2,000 years ago in the innocence of a child in peace, the Prince of Peace, He will come, the King of Kings, in justice at the end of time to separate the sheep from the goat. Goats, good from evil, the wheat from the chaff, and you know, we've got to. But anyway, we've got to take a break, and then we should pray. Don't you think we should pray? I think we should pray. So don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. I want to change on the new EWTM Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio, on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
You are cordially invited to celebrate the crowning of Our Lady of Cabejo Sunday morning, November 27th at 10 at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish in Chicago. This is the 40th anniversary jubilee year of Our Lady of Cabejo, the only Vatican-approved Marian apparition in Africa. After the celebratory Mass, there will be refreshments. Join us Sunday, November 27th at 10 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka Parish, 1327 North Noble, Chicago. That's two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. More information available at ststandschurch.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change, St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org, ststandschicago.org. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy
Expressway.
Welcome
back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And again, happy Thanksgiving. We have much to be grateful for, and that is our faith. We've cause for a lot of concern, as we've been kind of rambling about that. But, you know, as we were talking during the break, Tony and myself, you know, yeah, some people, they might take offense to this or that or whatever, but there's a lot of people out there that are just, they're looking for somebody to say, you know, am I going crazy? Is this, am I nuts? What, but, and that's why I say, you know, we're doing this dance around people like, well, can I speak freely? Can I speak in a civil, you know, can we have a, you know, where are we at? And when you find that somebody says, no, a breath of fresh air, I'm able to, and you know what's interesting is those of us who want to conserve what is right and what is good, which is, by the way, something that, hey, Frank is, he's supposed to be off today. He's come a step to, he can't stay home.
Yeah.
You know, because this is his home, too.
Exactly. You know?
Everybody has a home here.
And he's probably got a lot of work to do.
Yeah. But the interesting thing is that we who want to conserve, we have a sensitivity to truth. And so we don't assume, for the most part. I mean, that's why we hem and haw because, that's what I do. I try to look at things from a wide variety of perspectives.
See, I speak for myself. I'm not trying to make a movement. I don't want people to follow me. I want people to understand what's true. You know, and you think about, the conservatives are bad, the Democrats are bad. There's good people everywhere. And Father, that's something you've taught me a long time ago. And I try to, in every kind of interaction I have with people, I don't want to be enemies with anybody. I think it's important that you tell the truth. You analyze and you look at things. If somebody is telling you one thing and then doing something opposite, there's no truth there. Or maybe there is a truth, but it's deeper, and then you have to find out, well, why? What is behind this? You know, and that's what people, I don't think, on the surface, because we're all doing things every day. We're not paying attention on how people are taking from our pocket, how people are taking from our soul. We don't pay attention to that because we're going through life.
I just find it, and I was speaking about this the other night at Mass. The church, not the official. Now, what is the official church? Because when you've got prelates who seem to want to befriend the world when Jesus was very pointed about that we're not going to befriend the world, we're going to be hated on account of him. But that doesn't, the implication isn't that we hate, you know, we live our faith and we try to witness the faith in order to draw others into the faith. Mm-hmm. So we have a love for the whole of humanity. In fact, but we don't sell out. We don't water it down to such a degree. You know, we're not going to make, we just can't make ourselves acceptable to the world that, again, that's a world that's not under the dominion of Christ. We're not going to make ourselves acceptable. Truth is, like when Jesus says, you know, I've come not to bring peace, but rather division, which is really the antithesis of who he is, because he is the Prince of Peace. But the point is that he is truth incarnate. Mm-hmm. And the truth, you know, if we're not living in truth, then truth, and we want to persist in living an untruth, then in order to do that, we have to obliterate the truth. That's why Jesus was crucified, not because, as I mentioned a few times, you know, I just heard this a few weeks ago, but the word nice doesn't appear in the Gospels or in the epistles. It may not appear anywhere in the Scripture. Jesus wasn't crucified because he was nice. He was crucified because he was the truth, and that truth divides because either you're with me or you're against me. And if we're not in the truth, then we're living an untruth that feeds the disorder in the society, feeds the disorientation. And, you know, so for instance, to this very popular, I don't know, it's being foisted on everybody, that you can decide whether you're a boy or a girl, and the changing pronouns and all this kind of stuff. I mean, is that a truth or an untruth? That's obviously, objectively speaking, scientifically speaking, that's an untruth. And these are people who, you know, supposedly, you know, the church, the conservatives, mm-hmm. are not scientific. Well, we're extremely scientific. Yeah. But this is the crazy, crazy stuff that's going on in the society.
I think about this, and at one time I was this person, okay? Bible, it's just stories. It's just stories where you learn things. I'm telling you, and again, for those people that don't care about this and you want to turn off, don't. When you delve into Scripture and you see the way, and that's why I think I made the statement of, in a sense, if you're not paying attention, things repeat themselves. I think of the struggle of the people, you know, from the beginning into the Bible, and then when Jesus came on the scene. You look at some of the things that were going on. At one time, you couldn't tell me, Tony, you know, this world is not right. This world is, you know, it's never going to get worse than this. But those stories, you see it.
Sure.
You see it. And it's like you don't want to be that guy that says, oh, well, okay, well, like you said, am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? Well, the solution is searching the truth. The solution is not being like everyone else. But the world today, they want you to all be the same. Pick a side. And you better do this way. You better not do this way. Don't say this. Do this. Oh, you're one of them. I mean.
Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth,
right.
and the life. And so if we adhere to that, so, you know, we say, for instance, with so much that's being foisted on us, you know, that let the, I just use that example of let the child decide whether he's a boy or a girl, regardless of
how does any conscience do you do that? The child needs.
Or this constitutes a marriage, and that what you
know. Wait, I feel like a black woman today, so therefore I can be one.
Right. Well, you figure it out.
I'm sorry
none of
to
it,
use that combination.
None of it makes any sense,
right.
And yet, but the fact that we've this is what I mentioned the other day about this. We've talked about it on the radio about moral therapeutic deism, mm-hmm. you know, the kind of feel-good religion. In other words, and this is unfortunately we didn't get into it. Today's Friday, right? Mm-hmm. So next week we begin Advent, and so it's really as a church year ends, a church year begins, and it's really the very harsh reality of the end times, where there will be this cosmic upheaval, trials and tribulations, and this great apostasy and the rejecting of God and the persecution of the followers of Jesus Christ. So, you know, to speak about that, because these have been very, very hard readings this week. But you know, we don't want that because we want this moral therapeutic deism. Mm-hmm. The church has kind of morphed into that so that the soft gospel, the niceties, just love. You know, and you know, you hear that all the time. Well, you know, it just the important thing is love. I remember when I was trying to defend the church's teachings on what constitutes marriage, mm-hmm. and the whole of the Bible is a nuptial between, you know, God wedded to His people, but even as we move into the Christmas season and Advent into the Christmas season and the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and the Holy Family and one of the points I was going to make, and I've said it before, but until we deal with the crisis in our society, and that's the absence of fathers, the absence of men, you know, how necessary for the raising of children, these poor boys, you know, these poor young men. are in the streets and, you know, completely confused, without fathers, and you can't blame them. You know, the great deprivation. But until we deal with that, we're not going to. You know, we've got to get back to the full counsel of God.
Yeah.
And until we do, we're going to continue to see this unrest. We're going to at least pray this one prayer, because if we're just about 5 minutes before the end of the show, I'm sorry about that, everybody. We just got, but this is, you started it.
I take full responsibility, Father.
But it is, the hold of the faith, we got a hold of the faith. We got to be the Anawim. We're entering into the season of the Anawim, the little flock that is firm in faith and protecting, safeguarding the faith, because good wins out always. Mm-hmm. The victory is ours. So let's pray so that we don't get cut off here. But and it really, this is a prayer for our nation, but let it be a prayer for the church as well. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us.
Amen.
Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah, truth is, we've got just a minute here, but, I just happen to see right here the words of Saint Teresa of Avila. After, it's take them to heart. Remember, she wrote this in her prayer book.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that she had to remind herself, you know, let nothing disturb thee, nothing affright thee. All things are passing. God never changeth. Patient endurance attaineth to all things. Who God possesseth, and nothing is wanting. God alone sufficeth. Yeah, we've got to, just come full circle, go back to what, as we started, as you said, that we find refuge in the church. I thought about that last night. You know, I always love the gospel for Thanksgiving. I always choose this gospel. We have a number to choose from, but the 10 lepers, and they're there saying, Jesus, have mercy, or the Lord, have Son of David, I think it's Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. And he says, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they went and they were all healed. They were cured. Only one came back and said, thank you. And he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. And Jesus sadly said, did I not heal all 10? How is it that only one has come to say thanks? I think truly that we have lost our gratitude for how God has blessed us. And it's going to be to our own demise. Gratitude, you know, the whole chaplet of the Divine Mercy is really a prayer of gratitude. The Holy Mass is the Holy Eucharist, gratitude. So anyway, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Thanks for keeping the faith. Be firm in the faith. We're all in this together. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search it?